jungle on all sides. Rising from the roof of the palace was another eight-shaped story, but slightly smaller in all its dimensions, so that it was surrounded on all sides by a flat walled terrace. From the vantage point of the terrace, the 100 meters or so of cleared land surrounding the reptile house were not visible at all, unless you stood at the wall and looked over the edge. The jungle, rising high and dark, seemed to be on the point of inundating the terrace's wall like a thick green tide. At night, the jungle was a black immensity drained of any color, filled with the alien sounds of 1,000 native life forms. There was no other human settlement of any kind for hundreds of kilometers in any direction. The night I taught Gita was unusually clear, the sky flecked with stars from treetop to zenith. Sky's Edge had no large moons, and the few bright habitats which orbited the planet were below the horizon, but the terrace was lit by scores of torches, burning in the mouths of golden hamadryad statues set on stone pedestals along the wall. Kaweya had an obsession with hunting. His ambition was to catch himself a near-adult hamadryad, rather than the single immature specimen he'd managed to bag the previous year, and which now lived deep below the reptile house. I hadn't been long in his employment on that hunting trip, and that was the first time I had seen his wife. Once or twice she had handled one of Kaweya's hunting rifles, but with no sign that she had ever touched a weapon before that trip. Kaweya had asked me to give her a few impromptu shooting lessons while we were in country, which I had, and while she had improved, it was clear that Gita was never going to be any kind of expert shot. It hardly mattered. She had no interest in hunting, and while she had endured the trip with quiet stoicism, she could not share Kaweya's primal enthusiasm for killing. Soon even Kaweya realized that he was wasting his time trying to turn Gita into another hunter. But he still wanted her to know how to use a gun, something smaller now for the purposes of self-defense. "Why?" I said. "You hire people like me so people like Gita won't have to worry about their own safety." We had been alone at the time, down in one of the empty vivarium chambers. "Because I've got enemies, Tanner. You're good, and the men under you are good as well. But they're not infallible. A single assassin could still break through our defenses." "Yes," I said, "but anyone that good would also be good enough to take out either of you without you even knowing it was about to happen."
"Someone as good as you, Tanner?"
I thought about the defenses I had arranged around and within the reptile house. "No," I answered. "They'd need to be a hell of a lot better than me, Kaweya."
"And are there people like that out there?"
"There's always somebody better than you. It's just a question of whether anyone's prepared to pay them for their services." He rested a hand on one of the empty amphibian cases.
"Then she needs this more than ever. A chance at self-defense is better than none at all."
I had to concede there was a kind of logic there. "I'll show her, then, if you insist."
"Why are you so reluctant?"
"Guns are dangerous things." Kaweya smiled in the wan yellow light spilling from the tubes set into the empty cases.
"That's the idea, I think."
We began soon after. Gita was a perfectly willing student, but nowhere near as quick as Amelia. It was nothing to do with her intelligence, just a fundamental deficit in her motor skills. A basic weakness in hand-to-eye coordination, which would never have manifested itself had not Kaweya insisted on this tuition. Which was not to say that she was beyond hope, but what Amelia could have mastered in an hour, it took Gita all day to just stumble through at the most basic level of competence. Had she been a trainee soldier back in my old unit,